When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Let's go.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to Vincetown TV. We are back with Yellow Jackets season 5, titled Two Truths and a Lie. Wait, did I say season 5? Season 2, episode 5, titled Two Truths and a Lie. We've got Luke, Dave, and Brian, and me, Kathleen. I've been forgetting to say that in the beginning, so that is our names. And you may know that if you were listening to our coverage of season 1. We did a Rooks and Vets coverage, so if you want to go back and listen to our season 1 coverage for, you know, little reminder, we had a blast covering that. That is in our Buzztown feed. If you're listening to our Buzztown feed specifically, that has all Yellow Jackets content. But we are a, you know, Bingetown TV is our main umbrella of podcasts. We've been doing it for 3 years, so we have plenty of content to listen to. It's the best. We've been having a blast. We do sci-fi. We do not sci-fi. We do all over anything that's popular. We hit it. Anything that's not popular, we hit it. So go check us out. BingeTownTV.com. If you're interested, if we covered a show, you can find it on there. And it's pretty easy to navigate. Our brand new website is pretty cool. But we are here to talk about Yellow Jackets, which another good episode, another great episode, really. Luke had said it's number one on IMDb. Raiden, let's dive into the boys' opinions on the episode before I do the synopsis. What do you guys think?
I could start. Yeah, this was the highest rated on IMDb across both seasons. I was pretty surprised to see that. Not that I would say it was a bad episode at all. I actually really enjoyed this episode. We were talking about this right before the podcast. I still feel like episode 2, Eating Jackie, was still it for me. But with that being said, this was a really fun episode. I loved everything about how the Crystal storyline ended, and I thought that was freaking amazing. That was great TV with how Misty resolved that without getting caught with the group about destroying the flight tracker. And then in a frustrated way, I'm enjoying the Kevin Matt stuff. Like, it's so annoying how we're just escaping the FBI / you know, cops chasing down Shauna, but now it's like a back and forth. And I'm happy that Callie wasn't really the reason that we're all going to be destroyed here, and it was Randy couldn't finish. But quite that literally, whole storyline is going to be really important going forward for how Shauna's story plays out. And then also, of course, the end of this episode, I thought, was one of the most pivotal moments of the entire series, and is really, really going to set the track for how the rest of these 5 seasons, planned seasons, are going to go in the modern day. So it's going to be, I'm happy that we got it explicit out there that there's like a darkness spirit forest thing that's still with them back in Jersey.
I'm totally on team. This is one of my favorite episodes of the series, probably. I thought this episode was incredible. I mean, just to add on to what Luke was just explaining with the basic summary, I guess, of what happened this episode. I mean, we also got Javi just being an absolute weirdo still. I mean, he does speak a little bit, so I thought that was crazy. Yellow Jackets, just, I say it every week, and I'll continue to say it every week. This show is absolutely phenomenal, easily approaching my top 5 of shows of all time. And this episode just adds more fuel to the flame with just everything happening, just all the events. It was crazy.
Yep, more of the same from me. This is a great episode for a great show. I think that Crystal and young Misty moment on the cliffside is one of the most iconic moments of the series for me, and I'm gonna be thinking about that for a while. I mean, just fantastic acting on both sides. A lot of good interactions with Adult Ty and Van. Again, I want to compliment Adult Ty's acting when she just loses it. That was a fantastic scene. Yeah, just great episode.
This episode had me writing a lot of, wow, amazing acting, especially Shauna, young Shauna with Ty at the end when she's screaming at her in the woods. There's so many incredible acting moments, little nods. I think there's going to be a lot of nominations this year. I know last year, a lot of the adults got noms, you know, Melanie Lynskey, of course, and Christina Ricci got a nom. I think some of the kids are going to get them this time, specifically Shauna, probably. So we'll see how that turns out. But I will hop into our episode summary. So In 1996, the gang tries to get any information they can from a clearly changed Javi. A Lottie prayer circle has formed, which Shauna is not cool with. And Misty trusts her bestie a little too much, which results in Crystal's literal downfall into the shit she just threw off the cliff. Next, the spooky wind comes back just in time for Shauna to seemingly go into labor. Coincidence or not, who's to say? In the current day, Callie figures out who Matt really is, and Shauna and Jeff, once again the worst criminals ever, fumble the plan, and the cops are onto them more than ever. Say it with me. Please stop trusting Randy, for the love of God. Moving on. Good Tie and Bad Tie get a reunion with Van. Misty finally catches up with Nat at the Purple People camp, who unsurprisingly wants nothing to do with her. And finally, the best scene in the episode, in my opinion, same as Luke said, Nat confirms that whatever darkness was with them in 96 is still with them today, giving us the answer to what Travis wrote on the Post-it. Mm-hmm. Great episode all around. Leave it up to you guys where we want to start, 2021 or 1996.
I'll vote for 2021, but
that's fine. 1996. Right. I mean, notes wise, I feel like I don't even have that much compared. Like, there was a lot of 2021 here, so we can Agreed. Go through that. Yeah, let's do that.
Okay, cool. Let's start with Van, because we open with Van and her apartment above the store. It's pretty obvious that she owns it. By the, you know, mail and the trash, it seems like it's not a thriving store, which how could it be? I want to talk about quickly the psychology of like her owning a store like this. Do you think it's like she's stuck in that time period because they had this really traumatic event back then and like their childhoods were like kind of stolen from them?
Like, or do you think like Shauna, like what Shauna is going through a little bit
with Adam?
Yeah, like something like that. Or do you think, I mean, there is that scene when Ty brings a crew out to go south to try and find civilization in season one. And, you know, Van is the one that is in the circle at the campfire, like telling stories and doing all this. You can tell that Van like loves a story, loves to TV and all the stuff. She's making like TV references in this episode. So it could just be that, you know, she's obsessed with that. But to me, it was a little bit of like, wow, she's kind of stuck in the past. And maybe this traumatic event, like, you know, stunted her a little bit.
Definitely. And what better way to escape your shitty, horrible reality than by binging television shows and movies and, you know, just right. living vicariously through other characters. I'm sure she, you know, wants to forget everything that happened in the past. So and videos is a great way to do that. So it kind of lines up with, you know, the trauma that she's been going through. Absolutely.
I didn't take it like that. I thought okay. that was just kind of her little happy place. It seems like she is, well, like the other girl, she's high functioning until she's not. I guess we get into the oxy stuff later on, but she really does seem to be pretty high functioning. She has a good rapport with the local youth, if you will. She just seems happy. She clearly didn't want much to do with the Yellow Jacket stuff. We've already commented on why didn't everybody else keep in touch with Van? Like, why is it taken until season two to get her into the fold? Maybe she just wanted to put that behind her and she's just having a happy little life for herself.
I mean, we already did confirm that she's in Pennsylvania, whereas everyone else seems to be. I mean, Lottie's in New York and all the other girls.
Lit.
Yeah, all the other girls are in New Jersey. So, you know, Van is probably, you could make a case, is like the farthest away from what's been happening so far.
Yeah.
And there's something that I'm jumping ahead a little bit here, but there's a quote that when Thaisa and Van are talking to each other, I think later in the episode, talking about the sleepwalking thing, or it's actually about the pen that
B-Toms,
you were dead on about that gift. I think that was you that said that, right? That she was going to give it to Van, the pen. Yeah.
One of us. Yeah.
Either way, they talk about, they talk about Shauna's wedding. So to me, you can extrapolate and say that they were still good after they were rescued. So it's not going to be something that we see in 1996 that really makes them split. It's going to be something post being rescued, because they were all at Shauna's wedding together, which is a really weird thought, because you would think that it would, if something crazy traumatic happened, that she would have split from the group, it would have happened in 96. So I guess there could have been something else that happens, and we might get that storyline later.
Yeah, I had the same thought. And you know you don't know when Jeff and Shauna got married. Was it right after, or was it like 10 years after? So I'm really interested to see how long Ty and Van were together post Wilderness, because it would be, I mean, unless Shauna's baby somehow makes it and like forces Jeff and her to get married, not forces, but there's a lot of pieces we're missing in that storyline. But yeah, so she realizes the sleepwalking's back. The pen thing confirms that they were together. And then also Ty finds Van's pills Which Van says were her mom's, which could be true. You know, the V could stand for her mom. And we haven't really heard much or seen her mom since the pilot when she slaps her awake to drive her to the airport for this hellhole. But she is taking them, as we see later, which is not great. But, you know, that's fine. Also, can I just say I'm so stupid. In the first episode or the second of the season, I didn't make the connection that Charlotte and Lottie were short for each other. I just Googled Lauren Ambrose's name because I was like, she's so fucking good at playing Van. Her mannerisms are amazing. And it goes and it said Vanessa. And I was like, Vanessa?
For what it's
her
worth,
name's not Van.
I cut that from the audio so that this is people hearing that for the first time, probably.
Yeah. So I'm just not good at that at all. Like Van, Vanessa, come on. What does that mean? But Lauren Ambrose, her mannerisms when she's yelling at Ty and being and making the TV references are so Van. Like she must have studied season one so hard. It's arguably the best, you know, of the two, of all of them, like the from young to old, I would say that that's the most believable. I'm already completely 100% bought in on Van de Van,
which is saying something because we've been singing our praises for all of them across the board.
100%. Yeah. No complaints about the others. It's just that she's absolutely crushing it.
For sure.
The one thing that they talked about that I was pretty surprised was Thaisa explicitly tells her about the dog sacrifice altar. So that's and that seemed to even surprise Van a little bit. So I don't even know if we're going to get that crazy in the past. But now that we know what the sleepwalking lady's capable of, it's anything can go. But a more surprising part of this was when at the end of this storyline, because I think we're pretty much kind of at the end there, when the lady in the tree wakes up and the sleepwalking version talks to Van, like Van wasn't super surprised to be able to talk to her or recognize her. And then she drops the line, says, this isn't where we're supposed to be, which is weird because I thought the whole idea was to get to Van. So that's going to be fun to explore going forward. But this storyline is just, I'm so antsy for more information and more sleepwalking tie material that like this is my like number one thing I'm looking forward to next episode.
Let's not glance over the fact that Ty's alter ego immediately makes out with Van. So there's some sort of an attraction there, I think. I'm interested to see why that is the interaction and what Van allows this relationship to become back in the 90s while they're in the wilderness, because clearly they have a rapport.
Yeah, which is weird. Do you think that this all culminates in them having to just go back to the wilderness and figure it out? You know, like, we're not supposed to be here. Where are you supposed to be? They're all going to be like, we took it back here and now we have to bring it back. Like we have to bring it back to where it's supposed to be.
Sounds like a good season three, season four storyline.
I was theorizing that we're not supposed to be here was an acknowledgement that they need to join the rest of the girls who seem to all be being herded into Lottie's cult. So she's just like, this isn't where we're supposed to be. We got to link up with all the other Yellow Jackets.
It makes sense.
We just know that the demon is very ambiguous when it comes to requesting and informing Lottie of what she needs.
Just be a little more specific. We'll get you there, girl.
Tell us what you need. Anything else on that storyline?
No, I just think that if anything, it seems like Thaisa was probably the one that cut off things between her and Van, just based on how Van appeared like so shocked when she came back to her. I mean, to me, the way that Van is approaching the situation, it just seems like Ty was probably the one that like completely shut her out, and that's why she was so surprised that Ty just reappeared in her life all of a sudden.
I've also had the theory that maybe Ty's alter ego at the end of the day is the good supernatural entity, and that Lottie's is the bad supernatural entity, and that even though she seems like super scary and stuff, she's gonna end, or whatever the demon is that's taken over Ty, is gonna wind up being the good guy in all this.
How are you gonna spin dog murder into positive, though? Can't do it.
If we knew there's something even worse than dog murder out there, like what if Lottie's demon is trying to murder 100 dogs? Kill one dog to save 100?
Okay, you got me.
Well, one dog and Steve just out there on his own, you know, where justice for Steve. Where is Steve?
That's true. I want
Where's my MVP
that?
From episode 32?
I forgot Steve got an MVP nod.
He brought the family together.
True that.
He did. All right. So let's move to Callie, Shauna, and Jeff. This was a good episode for Callie. I mean, what made Callie open that check? I don't know. Maybe she was just curious how much it was. Who's to say? Or maybe she was just getting suspicious because he wouldn't kiss her. But Callie's got some riz. Callie's got some game. She was like, all right. And she hustled the shit out of him. And she should have gotten that kiss, but I don't want him to kiss her because fuck him. But
No, you do.
Oh, right. Of course
the
we do.
The second that she realized he was a cop, and he came back, she should have just pecked him. Boom. Done.
Yep. I agree with you.
Yeah. That would have been some leverage.
I feel like he's already in hot water for buying an underage girl drinks.
Should be.
Yeah, he should be.
There is so much in the storyline that I'm mad about. Like the cops are being bad. Even Kevin, they're being bad cops and they're being bad criminals. So everyone's being bad in this story.
Be better, everybody.
Yeah,
I will say I do feel slightly bad for Callie because everyone she's been in touch with has just been a complete liar to her. So she's definitely going to be fucked up after all this, I'm sure.
Well, dude, I'm not going to lie. I thought it was the cutest thing in the world when she goes, so I did fix it. And like she was like so happy with herself after. Whoa. And we were cracking up too when she walks in initially and says, please don't be mad. And then instantly Shauna goes, no. Jeff's like, all right. Like, sure.
Yeah.
And then that whole kitchen scene was great.
And then the reaction by the end of it was that Jeff was actually the one who was pissed off. Yeah. And Shauna was like, kind of like, all right, I appreciate you telling us the truth.
Mm-hmm. Well, when Shauna says, and Shauna and Jeff at the same time, Shauna says, a fucking cop. And Jeff goes, how old is he?
Yeah.
He's such a dad.
Exactly, though.
He's good in the scene.
We find out like pretty much everything they're doing, what's the term, is not admissible in court, right? Mm-hmm. Because they're all doing it without warrants and under, you know, one of these cops is going to die. And now I'm just hoping beyond hope that it's Matt and that Kevin gets away somehow.
Shauna's going to kill Jay.
Yeah, that would be great.
It's interesting because if we always talk about this on all different shows, but if the point of view of this show was reversed, we would be mad at Kevin for being naive and we'd be hype on Matt for like trusting his gut. We'd be like, go with the rookie. He knows. Get these guys.
Yeah. Like, very true.
And the cuse is loose, baby.
Yeah. Dude, he's so weird.
Yeah. And how about it weirdly being strawberry lotion when just last episode of the episode before he's talking about strawberry lube? Oh, you know, like, what's the strawberries about? What's
purposeful
about? Yeah, purposeful. Something, but I will trust Randy.
Never trust Randy. And I will say, a little bit like daughter, like mother, how Callie's like getting off on the thrill of it all. Like Luke was saying, she was just came in like, don't be mad, but I've been lying to and dating a cop. It's like she's just casually throwing out these lines where if my 17-year-old daughter was doing that, I'd be like, you're not allowed outside anymore. We gotta get your life under control.
Yeah. A couple other things I want to point out just from the actual scheme they tried to pull with Randy. A couple of funny lines here, I would say. Well, right when he's about to go into the bathroom, Shauna goes, Randy, don't you dare think about me. That was freaking great. But something you can that Randy tells Shauna here, good information, is that he casually lets slip the FBI Frodo thing. So Shauna's going to have that information in her back pocket. I don't know how it could really play out. It seems like we're honestly like segregating these storylines more than coming together. It's a little like not how I thought this whole season was going to play out. But eventually they're going to have to come back with like Lottie and Nat and Misty and all them. So
it's definitely a positive that he let it slip because now Shauna just will event. It just makes her quicker to getting to everyone else.
Mm-hmm. He said the line asking about Nat and some people in purple clothes. So I feel like that's just going to lead her to the cold
eventually. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Two things. One, Kevin is obviously like a senior detective where Matt is, they already called him a rookie. He's been on the job for a year, whatever it is. I don't understand why he's going along with all this. Like, if I'm Kevin, I'm going, get the fuck out of here. You're messing with my job now. Mm-hmm. And two, Kevin makes the comment, this kid gave you bad info. You're made. Now, I think this officially makes Callie an accomplice because why would Callie have lied? I mean, it's all off book, right? So it may not stand up in a court of law, but as far as like Kevin and Matt at least knowing why is she you know, making something up for her parents. Callie has to know something. So they could spin it. They could just say, you know, my parents told me to, I don't know. And last episode we were saying Callie's fine. Callie's in the clear. Yeah, she's an accomplice technically, but they don't have any proof. This is kind of proof.
No, you're right. You're definitely right. And
100%.
I'm a little worried now because now I like Callie. I've had a reverse on her so badly. I hated her in the beginning of the season. Now I love her. And what's really troubling is like the look on Matt's face when he realizes that Callie's been duping him and he goes, well, I'm better. And now it's going to be like a reverse psychology thing going on here. So I'm a little worried that she's going to get absolutely just like thrown into the streets here. Like something bad's going to happen for her. Unless, you know, they can stay one step ahead. But I think we're going to take the next step into like an actual investigation. And I think warrants are starting to come now. So like, we're going to go that way, but
I don't know. It seems like they don't have enough evidence quite yet. Like, I definitely agree that Callie is now full on accomplice. Like, she is fucked if Shauna and Jeff get fucked.
Mm-hmm.
But the one thing I want to ask is, do we think Jay is actually starting to develop feelings for Callie, or do we think that mm-hmm. he's just playing her the whole time?
Nah.
Because I mean, he does make that little comment to her that, you know, like, I really like you, obviously. But like, I just wonder if he's now just like, I know we haven't seen total signs of him like actually falling for her, but I just think that it would make it easier on this plot line for our people, the Yellow Jackets, if he did actually start to develop feelings for her.
But nah.
I'll give you the same answer you and I gave these two about Coach having the hots for Misty in season one. Maybe. But actually not.
No, yeah, no way.
Yeah, but actually not.
I think the biggest flaw in this plan by Shauna, first of all, I was like, there just doesn't need to be a condom at all. Just pretend you rolled out. Yeah, what's the point? Why does there have to be a condom at all? And Randy putting the lotion in is just so stupid. Like, there's obviously a reason you need the condom. I mean, but good for Matt for literally lifting that thing up and sniffing it, because he's an A+ detective. He's getting in there. He's putting his nose where it doesn't belong, and that's exactly what a good detective does.
Yeah.
Any last thoughts?
I have one question here, mm-hmm. and maybe it's something I'm missing, but why are the texts not enough that the cops have between Adam and Shauna? Like, that, how is that not enough and proof that they were banging and that she probably killed him?
It depends on what the text said, I guess.
Yeah, they only say we have hundreds of texts. I don't know if they could see the content of the texts, because I feel like, I agree, the content would be incriminating. But if they just have like 100 texts back and forth, she could be like, oh, yeah, we were dealing with insurance and shit.
OK, so you think there's a chance they can't actually see it? Because there's that one episode where he's like, doesn't he like you see the text messages? Yep. Like, he's like dropping his clothes on the ground or something like that. Mm-hmm. Like, that's enough. So I guess maybe that's it. They should have just been a little bit more clear on that, because I felt like when we got that information in episode one or two of this season, I was like, how do you get around this if they can see what you were saying back and forth? But that could be the case. Yep. I can buy that.
It's just the log, not the content. It's just like a call log. You'll see 50 missed calls, but you can't see what they actually said. They would need either of their phones in order to get the text, I think. Okay. Or else everyone would just be reading everyone's texts all the time.
Yeah,
no, you know? I think that's right.
But I agree, Luke, they should have been a little more clear on that. Okay, cool. So the Misty and the Nat and Lottie storyline intertwine. We can go through a little bit of Misty. It'll go into Lottie and Nat, and then they'll combine at the end. But anyone catch Misty and Walter, what song was on the radio in the very beginning when we see them? And Misty turns it off. She's like, Staying Alive, same song she uses to do the chest compressions on Crystal during the 1996. Yeah, it was good. I didn't catch it until the rewatch, which was nice. I was like, she like hurries up and turns it off because obviously it's triggering her.
Well, did you catch the song in the beginning of Van's storyline?
Yes, wait.
My hint is Sense8 has a monopoly on this song.
Yeah, what's up, Four Non-Blondes?
Yep.
Yeah.
I think of Sense8 every time I hear it. But anyway, sidetracking.
We do not cover that, but good show.
Maybe one day.
Maybe one day.
Anyway, they played Two Truths and a Lie, title of ep. Anything you guys wanted to talk about in this scene? Is there anything maybe we're missing? I mean, they're funny, but is there anything that could lead into a deeper conversation, or do you think this was just funny?
I don't know. It's just, for me, I mean, for I already forget Elijah Wood's character's name.
Walter.
I just feel like for him, that whole scene kind of painted him a little bit sketchy in my mind. It wasn't any more so innocent. I feel like now we got a layer to him that, you know, he was kind of a liar. I mean, he just straight up was like, oh, two truths and a lie. And like he gave his three truths, which was not the rules of the game. And, you know, he's willing to bend the rules so that he can make it the most interesting. So I just feel like that was a little sketchy for him. He's definitely a little bit on my radar now after that, but I don't think it was anything that like sent him over, you know, like absolutely keep your eye out on Walter. But it was a little weird that game interaction, I feel like.
My only thing is when he was like, there's only one rule, win. Yep. And now you know a little bit more about me. That just leads me to believe this isn't the last we've seen of Walter, because mm-hmm. he's not the type that would just stop pursuing Misty after this slight adversity. And to preface that, he's 100% right that Misty was involved with the Adam stuff. And I kind of like Walter for Misty. I really do. I love this two truths and a lie scene.
And we also know he's down with murder. So it's so it's all good. Like he's willing to cover up this story if Misty was involved in it. So
yeah, that interaction was just a plus for me. I think that we're good now. Like there's no way he's going to be an actual enemy. I just think Misty should have reacted better. But her one line that she has, I have to bring it up because it was just amazing when she gives her two truths. Yeah. And she says, I think we're asking the wrong questions about the moon landing. I was laughing out loud at that. That is such a Misty quote right there. It's just amazing. Amazing.
Yeah, it's definitely not a deal breaker for Walter that she may or may not have killed somebody. I mean, technically she didn't. I mean, she has killed somebody, but definitely not Adam Martin.
She was just an accomplice in getting rid of the body. She didn't actually murder anyone.
Well, Crystal,
yeah. I guess you're right.
Shit. And possibly other people as well. Mari, maybe, in the
future. She
didn't murder Crystal. We're going to get to the Crystal stuff. Fucking... Let's all relax on that conversation.
In the private investigator.
Oh, yeah.
That was a murder, 100%. Yeah. But Walter even had her motive right. She's like, yeah, you probably murdered her, maybe to help a friend out, but yeah, you murdered the guy, which... Yeah. She was involved in the murder, I will say. Like, by cleaning up the body, she is nailed on.
Is there any chance that Jessica Roberts is still alive? I mean, she's a private investigator. If she got, like, taken somehow, like, alive, gone into witness protection, maybe, like, I could see that happening. Maybe.
Like, Lottie's purple people were just, like, following her constantly and, like, saw her get in the car and then, like, saw her crash and then just, like, immediately... captured her and then like took her back somewhere. I mean, possibly, but I think I'm definitely like 90% certain that Jessica Roberts is dead.
99.
Yeah.
The longer we go without hearing anything about her, the longer I think she might be alive. Because if she died, it would have made the news and it would have made its way back to Ty, who the only reason I think maybe not is because Ty's dealing with a lot right now. So maybe she's not even thinking about Jessica, but like that was her right hand advisor or whatever. She would have heard if she died. So I'm thinking that could be like a surprise. Holy shit, she's actually alive. But I'm going to leave it at that.
Yeah,
if she is alive. It's got to be this season she comes back, I think, because how do you get an actor? It
doesn't have to be anything.
Well, I guess you're right.
What?
If Jessica Roberts is alive, she hasn't been back to her apartment because Ty was just in her apartment unless she ran in to get stuff and left, because there was all that unopened mail at Jessica Roberts' apartment last episode. So who knows? But I'm kind of on the Brian train.
That was also Demon Ty. Like that wasn't Ty. That was Demon Ty who went to the apartment. So
correct.
Either way,
yes.
Continue because you were agreeing with me.
Yes, I was. I was just saying that I don't think Jessica's been back. Unopened mail, untouched stuff. If I were her, I would just get the fuck out of town and pretend I died. But it's weird that Misty hasn't followed up and confirmed. We haven't seen like her see a clip or something that's like, okay, confirmed she's dead. You know, interesting.
Crazy theory. Jessica's alive. Walter, trying to impress Misty, takes matters into his own hands to close the loop on Jessica, goes back to Misty and is just like, I took care of Jessica for you. Are you going to give me a conversation now? Hear me out.
I like
crazy
that.
Theory, but I kind of love it.
Such a bad move by Misty sandbagging him after he just basically has all this dirt on her now.
Like, for sure.
If he wants to have bad motivations towards her, like he could do whatever he wants. So the way she reacted was not good. But yeah, he's definitely not out of the story. He's got something else to do for us.
This wasn't consistent with how usually thorough adult Misty is.
I think she might also just be like still flustered by the fact that she's processing the fact that this guy might actually be attracted to her. And I think that in alone is like throwing her off, you know?
Well, we knew that her lying about Adam Martin's mom was going to come back. I mean, she made up a lie that was way too specific and he didn't even have to do any work. She's dead. That's it. Flop. Like, and that's the worst type of lie. So we knew it was going to come back. It did really quickly. But I agree with Dave, and I'm saying that, like, or with Brian too, this is only going to push him to like try and impress her more or to get closer to her. I don't think it's going to flip him to the other side as like a revenge or a vengeance plot or anything like that. I think it's only just going to make him more interested in her. He's just bored and he loves this shit. So he's twisted like her.
So lame if Frodo becomes the enemy. I don't want that.
Don't think so.
No way.
I don't think so.
No. Anything else with the Misty and Walter stuff, or should we talk about the conversation through the fence with Nat and then get into the Nat stuff?
Yeah, that's good.
Mm-hmm. I mean, anything in particular about Nat just 100% denying any help from Misty? It's only inconsistent because the last time we saw those two together, Nat was like embracing the friendship, and now she's like, no, piss off, like I'm trying to do my own thing here. And also, do we think that Nat is buying into Lottie's everything, or if she's really just trying to investigate further?
I think that Nat was just scared that Misty was going to screw it up. I think I think that Nat was thinking Misty was going to screw it up because Misty was just going to bulldoze in there and mess up any like line of trust that Nat had built with Lisa or with Lottie. I mean, Nat ended up doing that herself. But
what do you mean by screw it up? Screw up her investigating Lottie, or screw up her exploring her heart with Lottie?
Investigating Lottie, because at that point she hadn't made it into the cabinet yet. Everyone was like cock blocking her into the cabinet, like over and over again up until this point.
Yeah.
And so that was still her number one thing. I think by the end of this episode that Nat's gonna kind of team up with Lottie a little bit more after they were able to get this memory and this information out of Nat. But up until this point, I think she was just like, beat it. You're screwing up my facade, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. But I think Nat doesn't hate it there.
Definitely.
I think she's definitely coming around a little bit, especially with all these talks of Travis and everything. And Lottie, it does feel like, is telling, you know, the truth to her. And I think she's buying into it a little bit. I just think that she, just doesn't want Misty just poking around. Like, Misty's a loud mouth, you know, if she's trying to do some snooping and Misty's just like asking questions, it's like, you know, we're setting back a little bit here. So overall, though, I think Nat is kind of buying into it, especially now with the reveal of the note and everything else.
Yeah, I think Lottie is now no longer an option as being like evil to me. Like, even though it was kind of going that way, and we were, even with like seeing the Travis flashback, you could tell like she isn't like the source of all this evil. Regardless of how she wants to deal with the darkness might be different than all of the rational people like Nat and like Thaisa and stuff. Like, their method of dealing with the darkness, it might be different, but I think it's still Team Yellow Jackets versus everybody, and I would much prefer that because I love Lottie, so I want her to be on our side.
I just want to highlight how you said the rational people like Nat and Thaisa, who are currently both going through respective breakdowns.
Yeah. You know what I fucking meant.
Oh, I do.
Quickly, Brian, this is for you. So I know you don't watch trailers, and in the season trailer for the season, you see a clip of Misty saying, Lottie was in the mental institution in Switzerland, Lottie. And then Nat's just like, yeah. And like says it with like, you really think by watching the trailer before seeing anything in the season that Nat has fully bought into Lottie's hoopla,
right?
You know, and which is interesting because, you know, they misdirected us. Obviously, mm-hmm. That's just not what's going down. But I always knew since episode one that Nat was going to be with Lottie and Misty was going to meet up with them. Like, and that's just something that's like, you know what? I guess I didn't need to know that as I was going through the season. So I agree, but I will never not watch the trailer because I just love it. But it's just something that I would pat you on the back for, because It's just not something I needed to know. It is a bit of a spoiler, and, you know, I would have liked to not know that, but that's okay, because it was completely different than when they made it out to be.
I feel like Lottie just needs to kind of just open up a little bit more than that and be like, yo, when Travis killed himself, I saw Laura Lee. The other day, I was hallucinating bees, all of our bees dead. Like, I want her to be more vocal than that, that she is also a victim and not, you know, because I feel like Nat sees it as like, this is all her fault because you've always been the mystical one. Like, this has all got to be coming from you, so you're the blame here. But I feel like, you know, Lottie's just got to tell her straight up, hey, I'm seeing shit. I'm being harassed as well. Like, I don't want this anymore either. So.
And she did the ritual with the blood last episode that she didn't tell her about, too.
Yeah, true. True. Which we still haven't seen anything come from that, right?
I think Nat saw right through her, because she did say, oh, what happened there to her hand? And Lottie was like, just an accident. Don't worry about that. And Nat kind of had a smirk on her face like, okay.
I'm sure Nat had been exposed to at least 1996 Lottie probably cutting herself like that and doing something along those lines. So she probably was familiar with it.
We already know that blood rituals is what makes the fucking supernatural stuff in the 90s tick. So I think we're going to get a lot more of it over the next 12 months there, too.
So a couple episodes ago, Nat has a flash of seeing paramedics, and we had to, it was the episode you weren't on, Brian, because I remember Kyle being like, I looked at the curtains and that was not the cabin curtains or whatever.
Yeah.
This scene of her ODing and the paramedics coming. This was an awesome fucking scene. So Nat was obviously already trying to, like, her brain was trying to get her to access this memory anyway without Lottie. And what did you guys think of, you know, the plane, you see the plane crash and they were all burnt alive, and then the antler person coming in, like, what was your take on that? Because it was awesome.
The only thing I want to say really quickly is I'm glad that this is the OA squad, because it does seem like NDEs are like a big part of what's happening. Like, the only way to talk to this thing is NDEs. So I'm just glad that we're all able to, we can make these OA references. I feel like we're going to have a lot of them in the future.
Yeah.
And so that we can all be on the same page and make those references. But in terms of like the actual vision she saw with the plane crashing and like the bodies burning, like, maybe it's the demon telling her, like, foreshadowing, like, they're all going to die. But because they obviously live, like, I don't know who in those seats of the plane crash, like, if they were representations of maybe Laura Lee and Crystal or something, but because we only saw like three skeletons, I feel like it wasn't like a plane full of skeletons, you know. So I really have no thoughts on that, really.
So maybe I'm just kind of freeballing this right now, thinking about it more, is like, because also on the plane you see the Antler Queen walk onto it for a second, right? So like, maybe there's a chance that the Antler Queen isn't one of our people and is like the actual physical embodiment of the darkness. And what the vision could have been saying is like, the darkness is what caused them to all live through the plane crash. Like, it kind of manipulated things to get them to this point. It's kind of like, I don't know, because what is she seeing Lottie? Like, are we, if we're saying that Lottie's Antler Queen, which she still probably is, especially with the shadow version of herself on the ground that she sees at the end of the episode, like, she probably is that. I don't know how it meshes.
What if it like can jump? Like, what if the Antler Queen can just like be like different?
Yes.
Like, maybe it starts with Lottie, but then, you know, we've theorized that Shauna could also be the Antler Queen. Like, maybe there's a phase in time where she somehow becomes the one that's possessed, and like Thaisa also has obviously had some crazy experiences, so maybe it just hops around. But
it's possible.
Yeah,
I like that. That's what I was thinking too, that anyone could really be the Antler Queen. It is just the darkness that hops from into all of them,
and that would make sense of what actually physically possessed Lottie in the exorcism episode, right? Like, that could have been it.
Yeah, it could have been it. And then, like, at some point, maybe it just hops to, you know, Shauna, and then Shauna's speaking French and asking for blood. So who knows, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I loved all that conversation. I don't have all that much to add. I don't know. If we're taking that vision literally, I'm like, maybe they did die on the plane crash, and it's like a deal with the devil or something. Like, the darkness of the wilderness like resuscitated them because it has some motive for keeping it alive, whether that's entertainment or if it just wants the baby or what. Maybe it came into the plane crash, resuscitated some of these children, and then it's like, yeah, I'm living within you and you're gonna in a way do my bidding. I don't know how, what to make of the fact that they were all dead in this vision and the Antler Queen just moseyed on in, because like Luke was saying, there's no way that the embodiment of that Antler Queen that we saw in the vision could be the Lottie that we know.
Wouldn't make sense, right?
Right. Correct.
Right. But so I said this off the top of the episode, like this is arguably one of the most pivotal episodes of the series. And I think like, even now we don't, this is so much information and so much good detailed information about like what we're going to have, what the path forward is going to look like. But I think when we look back on this episode after like two more seasons down the road, a lot of it is going to make a lot of sense. It's just really tough to just kind of guess because this is a lot being thrown at us. Like we knew the darkness could be a thing and it totally is. And is it more than one person? Is it jumping? There's the spiritual plane aspect to all of this. Like there's so much that season two has thrown at us that I can't believe we're here. And this is episode five, right? We're halfway through the season because there's going to be 9, I think, in season two.
Oh, really? I thought there was 10, but
I could be wrong, but I feel like I looked that up and I think there's going to be 9. But this is just a crazy mid-season sort of twist that I'm super happy we got, because this is what's going to spawn the most fun theories and like how what makes the Yellow Jackets community like really fun.
The one thing I just want to mention really quick is in our season one coverage, I forget which episode it was specifically, but I had like kind of thrown out a theory that, you know, I feel like we're going to get more events about what happened of the like during the actual plane crash, because the only thing we've ever seen really, like when the plane crash happens, all we just get immediately thrown into is Shauna just dozily waking up from the Xanax or whatever it was that she took. And so I had theorized that maybe, you know, something had happened while Shauna was asleep that we didn't get to see as viewers on screen that triggered the plane to crash. And then if we're talking about how the Antler Queen, quote unquote, walked onto the plane in this vision, and, you know, then we're seeing the dead bodies of everything, like I just wanted to kind of rekindle this theory that potentially maybe something that happened during the flight while Shauna was asleep happened that, you know, spiritually or visually would help us as the audience determine what's going on.
Yeah, it's a good point,
Dave. I think that's great, but I would also like to revive part of your theory where you said Misty was the one.
Yeah, Misty. It was all Misty. No, that's that theory is going strong still.
No, but that's good. I think that Shauna being asleep, you know, that is a big missing chunk that we didn't get to see. But them being charred was a crazy sight and really was fun to see, because that could mean literally anything. Is Brian right? Did they die and were they revived? Or was that just like, you know, I don't.
Or is it representation?
That's what could have happened if the darkness didn't intervene.
Or is it a representation of the number of people that are going to be eaten? I mean, those skeletons looked exactly how Jackie looked after they fucking ate her. So.
Delicious.
Yeah.
But at the end of the scene, I just really love it when Yellow Jackets does this. Young Nat gets onto Lottie's lap, and that's happened before. Young Shauna is the one who kills Adam. It's kind of like they're reverting back to who they were back in the day. And there's like naive, childlike, whatever, but also like Shauna in her like most rabid state killing Adam. You know, I really like when they do that. If anything, I just love to think about that the cast finally get to intermingle with each other, and that makes me happy. Mm-hmm. But then, of course, we already said the shadow has the antlers, but I really don't think it's one person. I think it's like can be within any of them. I mean, if it has to be one person, then Lottie, but I do think, Dave, you're right. It could be anybody or
and where the freak is Cabin Daddy? Like, when are we going to see that guy again?
True.
Because that was such a like highlight of season one for me, is like what the fuck is happening, and there hasn't been even like any signs of him, because I would have thought like maybe even in the Travis killing himself scene, like that would have been a perfect opportunity to have him join the fray. I don't know like where that's gonna go, but that could be the Antler Queen.
I mean,
I don't know,
the only way we can access that side is if someone in the 90s has an near-death experience. It seems like I thought we might mingle with those people because of the crystal stuff, but I don't think it was a near-death. That was just a death that experience was Crystal / Kristen.
They were like, we don't want Crystal.
No.
She's annoying.
No, she could totally still be on that side of the plane next time with the PLANE. No, PLAIN. No,
I think for sure that wow. I think for sure we will see Crystal again haunting Misty in some capacity, you know,
ooh,
for sure. But let's get into it. So 1996, Shauna is struggling with the pregnancy.
She was preggers, man. I remember she came on screen. I was like, damn, she is ready to pop.
So was it a time?
A bit of a time jump.
Okay, it was.
She's, I mean, she's 9 months pregnant. So I'm not even confident saying it's 1996 anymore. It's probably 1997 almost.
Happy New Year's.
There's a scene. Happy fucking New Year. There's a scene where the icicle is dripping, meaning like spring is eventually coming, even though this wind does like seem like a midwinter storm.
That was weird too. Yeah.
Yeah. But I mean, that's just the spooky wind. That's just the wilderness. Spring is coming. So I think I'm confident to say we'll say 1997 from now on.
Okay.
I feel like we should. I mean, we did the whole homecoming, which is we already had talked about, is the fall and everything. And I'm sure months have passed from then. So, I'm fine with going 1997.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What a miserable time it must be to be Shauna, like 9 months pregnant, just in the wilderness. This has got to be awful. And I guess the narrative of the whole episode is that like the tide is shifting and even people like Ty are starting to get cozy with Lottie.
Okay, so the prayer circle causes some drama. I'm not mad at Ty. If she's not sleepwalking and, you know, happy wife, happy life, I'm not really mad at Ty until later when Shauna, she's honestly feeling neglected, right? But I don't, Ty needs to sleep. I get it. I'm a sleepwalker. Sometimes I'm like, I've been up all night. Just let me fucking sleep. And I'm not doing bad things like Ty. So I get it.
I feel like what rubbed me the wrong way with Ty is we've seen this a couple times. She spoke this way to Van earlier this season and last season. Adult Ty spoke this way to adult Van. She can just be condescending about things that she knows absolutely nothing about. And she tries to do it with Shauna, like, it's not hurting anybody. I'm not against you. It's just happy wife, happy life. And Shauna is feeling like she's on an island out here.
Yeah.
Like, objectively, what Lottie is doing and kind of putting the spotlight of her prayers on, oh, we have a new baby boy coming. It is weird. Yeah. I am so on Shauna's side, and like gaslighting has been a narrative. That's kind of what it is. It's like they're trying to tell Shauna that this is not dangerous or harmful. And it's like, why is nobody else seeing it? I get it because Shauna's crazy a lot of the times, but like this time she's in the right.
I'm surprised Nat isn't backing up exactly what you're saying, or Coach. Like, Coach seems to be keeping his mouth shut, probably because he knows the threat of being eaten is always there.
Coach is checked out, man.
He is. He truly is.
The prayer circle is pretty much everyone except Nat, Shauna, Javi, and then Akila eventually joins. And later her and Ty have this conversation, which I really liked. Akilah's really good for these small conversations that like bring some clarity and some like meaning. Mm-hmm. But she's basically like, me and Rachel, and if you'll remember, Rachel died on the plane. She was the one who was supposed to see Oasis, and now she'll never see Wonderwall live. So sad. But they had this pregame ritual, and she was basically just saying rituals don't necessarily have to actually result in something. You know, it doesn't have to become something. It's just something that helps you. It's kind of like a placebo effect, right? Or do you do it and it pumps you up and it makes you like happy, but it doesn't actually mean anything. And Akilah's like, I'll probably end up still going, you know, but I like that her and Ty have been having these conversations and been friends like this.
I love the little bit of Yellow Jackets lore we get here too, with the JV team actually sucked.
Yeah.
Like, you guys did not win. I love that little piece of information we got, because obviously the varsity team is one of the best in the country.
Mm-hmm. The opposite for Marple lacrosse.
And then Akila calls Van whipped, which is what we're all thinking anyway, or Ty whipped, which is what we're all thinking.
Was anybody else getting like flirty vibes when like you're whipped and then they start like splashing each other? Or was that just completely harmless? Because in season one, I remember when I was just like, Ty seems to have the hots for like Van and Akila. I think I threw Akila's name out because there was a scene like when she was looking at them in the lake where I thought Akila was kind of catching a stray too of these Ty stuff. I want to put it out there.
I wasn't getting it.
They could just be friends.
The Akila thing, I'm taking it as friendly until we get another scene like that.
Yeah, I'll stay vigilant on that, Brian.
Please do it for me.
I also just want to give credit to young Thaisa, because I was shitting on her last episode for, you know, not supporting Van and like kind of giving into all of this stuff that Lottie's doing. And now she kind of seems to do that 180 where she actually is being a little bit more open with Van and willing to go do these things with fans. So I just want to give my flowers to Young Ty because she sucked last episode, but I like that her and Van are kind of doing these things together.
The time skip was good for her.
Yeah.
Also, do the four of us as viewers think there's a correlation between her attending the prayer circle and the no more sleepwalking? I'm sorry. Do we think there's causation to those two things, or is it just coincidence?
I don't think it's a coincidence.
Yeah, it's nothing is a coincidence in this show. So I'm going to say no. I think there's definitely something there.
But a lot of things are misdirect.
That's very true. Because how does it connect, like the forest, the darkness? I guess we could start using that because that's what Nat literally calls it, the darkness in the forest. How does the darkness and Thais's ghost or like possession, are they the same? Like,
I mean, Thais's ghost has been leading to her to symbols in the forest where the darkness resides. So, I mean, they're connected somehow.
We do get into this conversation every episode.
Should we try and nail down definitive names for whatever's going on with Thaisa and whatever's going on with Lottie? I almost don't want the darkness because that gives a negative connotation. Thaisa's, I kind of like
Lady in the Tree.
Lady in the Tree and Forest Spirit?
Yeah, Forest Spirit. That's fine.
Okay.
That's what we usually say. Yeah, that's fine.
Mm-hmm. I've been saying Bad Tie, but we'll do Lady
bad
in the Tree.
Bad Tie or Lady in
right.
the Tree is fine. I feel like those two are very, they're just easy.
Let's do Lady in the Tree because I don't want to assume Bad Tie's bad, even though she's bad. She killed a dog.
Same thing as the darkness. I don't like that because it's a negative. Okay, Lady in the Tree, Forest Spirit is what we're going with until we get a different name.
Mm-hmm. Sounds good.
Everybody else get correctly irrationally mad at this next scene with the two rando girls getting some screen time?
Talking about Javi.
Mm.
I actually liked it. My note is blonde girl who I don't know her name says maybe it's a ghost, which I liked, but I don't buy into that, but I liked it.
I just can't believe that we're getting just first time lines from characters that are in this cabin.
I mean, look how Crystal turned out. She got introduced like basically this season and is now completely dead.
We made the argument like, if we're going to have these randos, it's because we're going to use them to kill them.
Yeah, that's basically I view all of them as
expendable.
Yeah, expendable pieces.
You got to give them some lines so that their death means something when it inevitably happens. Also, blonde girl in my notes is just Laura Lee wannabe because that's what she is. Tall,
she
skinny
similar.
Blonde girl.
She looks similar.
Come on. Isn't she the one, Dave? Wasn't she the one that shit on Crystal in the very first episode?
Yes.
Yeah, she's like, stop whistling or whatever.
I like it.
Yeah. I just want names. Give me a couple more scenes. That's all I'm asking.
And these girls who had absolutely no presence for the past year have the audacity for calling out Javi for not wanting to talk to them. I wouldn't want to talk to these weirdos
who have only spoken like one sentence.
Haven't talked the past 6 months. They're on their high horse saying Javi's got to talk. But pretty much all the girls in the common area are trying to talk to Javi. And Van's like, Travis, maybe you should help. Travis, for his part, is being calm. He's got that calm, cool, collected demeanor like I was talking about last episode, but he's like, he's good. He'll talk when he wants to. And is this when we get the Travis and Nat interaction too?
Let's just include it because it's like a scene.
Yeah,
he calls her out for planning the bloody clothes, which, yeah, this had to happen.
You wanted that. I know you've been waiting for that.
Yeah. It's better than I thought. It's not totally, obviously we know they're fine later, but I thought Travis was going to have a way worse reaction. So this is definitely repairable. And, you know, the girls are all very concerned because Jackie literally, okay, Javi goes away and maybe 1 or 2 days, I'm fuzzy on the details later. Jackie dies in the cold, like totally frozen, rock solid. Javi was out there. So they're like, he could have found someone else. He could have found another cabin. And then the other person was like, well, don't you think we'd be rescued if that happened? So they're like, then where was he? He couldn't have survived. It makes sense that these girls are like, tell us, you fucking loser.
The only thing I'll say here is I saw a wild theory that people have been theorizing. I forgot what the article, but people have been theorizing there's like an underground bunker below the woods, which would kind of slightly explain why Lottie had that vision of literally going down into a bunker. I mean, granted, she was at a mall at some point, but that could have been just more of a hallucination more than her actually climbing down there. But regardless, like, people seem to think that there's like an underground system. Maybe the the tree that we saw was kind of melted, like covered in melted snow that was warm, you know, had a vent by it of this underground bunker that is providing heat. So people are just kind of thinking that. I just wanted to put that out there if it does come to that point that we were here for it.
And she sees it in the Laura Lee vision when
and she sees it in the Laura Lee vision as well. So there's that, something with a bunker or underground weirdness.
I like it.
Mm-hmm. Luke, speaking of underground bunkers, I'm going to say some numbers and see if this jogs your memory. 4, 8, 15, 16, 23.
I thought we were going to bring up Lost when Brian said, the "were we dead the whole time" thing. When he said, which is a misconception. Don't fucking let people convince you that's how Lost is.
Yeah.
Anyway.
I love that
Love
show.
Lost.
Anyway, so when Travis calls out Nat, he storms out. Lottie does follow him. So there's a little like Lottie Trav thing still happening as we move forward. If we want to quick go through this Javi scene with Ben Scott,
yeah,
we can do that. So Ben finds Javi's drawing and it's of the tree roots, which again is underground, like maybe, you know, Dave, you're right with the underground bunker. But he said, she told me not to come back. And he said, who did? And she said, my friend. He said, my friend. Do you think that's Lady in the Tree?
I think after the episode, I looked at Luke and I was like, I think he's talking to Sleepwalking Ty, Lady in the Tree Ty. Like, because Lady in the Tree Ty knew exactly where Javi was, or at least was like, maybe they had planned a meetup. I don't know how that conversation or how those details would go, but like maybe they planned a meetup at the point that, you know, Van de Deuce was going to be the next symbol. But he's talking like she's saying she, and, you know, obviously Thais's kid, who I'm blanking on right now. Yeah. Sammy also had referred to Thais's bad side as a she. So I personally took it immediately as it's got to be young Thaisa, or sorry, Lady in the Tree Thaisa talking to him. But obviously I could be totally wrong. That's just what I thought.
How is this going to be how it plays out? This would be the craziest turn.
It has to do something with Thaisa and the symbols, and how, like, were all those places that the symbols were, like, were those meetup spots for Lady in the Tree and Javi? Like, I don't know how to take it, to be honest.
I also am putting on the board that I don't think Javi was the one stealing the bear meat, because they called him out in this episode saying, you owe us for stealing the bear meat. I don't think it was him. I'm just going to put that on the board. Still could be. He's the obvious answer. But I'm just going to put it on the board that I don't think it was him. I don't have an explanation for who it could be.
It goes into what we were saying last episode with just like it does make sense that he would be the one stealing Barry Mead, but it also doesn't make sense that he would be so close to the cabin and not interact with anyone
or get seen
by anyone. So I'm with you. I don't think he was the one stealing Barry Mead, but
and for what it's worth, I would be very pleasantly surprised if there is another human out there that Javi was interacting with. That'd be awesome.
I want it.
I know. I want it too.
I was calling it that there was other people out there. I want there to be other people out there.
Not saying that's probable, but I want that.
Well, that would go along with Nat's vision that there's a humanoid antler queen figure. I have no clue what's going on with Javi. Like, none at all. I wasn't even thinking Thaisa when he was referring to, like, my friend told me not to come back. I thought that was full on forest spirit stuff, but who knows at this point? Javi's crazy. Also, why did he confide in Coach Scott and nobody else? Coach Scott's clearly the only one not under Lottie's influence. Maybe that was something. So much I don't know.
And not to be dramatic, but the second I heard Javi talk, I'm like strapping him down and freaking making him talk. Like, now that we know he's capable and he's a person still, you're giving us this information today, not tomorrow. Like, there's no way that you let this just push too hard. Yeah, but you can't push too hard. You guys are going to, like, everyone's going to die. Like, where was he getting food? Like, that's like more important than his safety.
Doesn't Sammy, Thais's son, also refer to like the doll or something as his friend as well? Like, is there a parallel there as well? I feel like there's something here with Javi and Sammy, and I don't have enough information to make the connections.
I don't know.
You know what else is interesting is the Laura Lee wannabe, whatever, blonde girl when she was talking to the other rando about, what actually happened to Javi? She was like, maybe he did die out there and this is his ghost.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I don't know. That didn't seem like nothing.
I know.
I love that. I love that, actually.
He gets split into two personalities. Javi that doesn't speak and then Adam Martin.
Yes! Put it on the board.
I think Javi told Ben Scott because Ben Scott couldn't chase after him. He just like dropped something and ran. I was like,
yeah.
See ya. Ben's also, like, oh.
Coach was looking at drawings of trees. Is that Javi's doodles?
Yeah.
I didn't.
Okay.
I didn't catch that either, B-Tums. I'm glad Kathleen made that clear that Javi drew those because I have no idea.
I think that's why he was in the room and he took them from him, right?
He was stealing Shauna's notebook papers last season, if you recall, her journal papers, and Shauna yells at him at one point, but he's like, wanted to do an art project. It was really sweet. Okay.
That's got to be tied in here. Something.
So let's get to Misty and Crystal/Kristen. They do like a, what was the game they were playing that they're picking three people for what? I'm not even remembering now.
Who you would have dinner with.
Okay, dinner. So she picks Plato, Eric Niles, which is a Real World New York person, which is so funny because that would have been like what they were watching on MTV back then.
Yep.
And then the third was Kevorkian, who famously championed patients' right for physicians' assisted suicides. And they're like, and he was hot. And they're so weird.
That's so bizarre. I didn't research any of the names, but that's fantastic context.
People use Kevorkian as like a verb, you know, like they say, like, I think they're like, you can Kevorkian yourself or something. Like, I think he was like really the spearhead doctor for being like suicide or not suicide. Wanting to die isn't a crime, you know, like depending on what the situation is, like, it's not a crime if you want to die, like you should be able to just die. Anyway, again, calling each other bestie, they're really laying down like these two are inseparable best friends. Mari gives them the dump duty again. It seems like, you know, she's been getting this card over and over again.
And the card was number two.
I love that. And I think what happens was pretty predictable. As soon as they went out on that cliff, I was like, Crystal's not coming back. As soon as they started telling secrets, I'm like, Misty's going to tell her the transmitter secret. And then, of course, it happens. But when Misty says, I'll fucking kill you, that was a 10 out of 10 acting moment. Like, that is the Misty we know and love. And it's like the worst of her. And you kind of forget that she has that in her until she shows it to you.
Yep.
And damn. I mean, technically, she didn't push her. That's all I'll say.
This scene, the whole thing, you're saying that delivery was a 10 out of 10. This whole thing was a 10 out of 10. The writers were in their bag with Crystal and Misty this episode. Because even walking up to the cliff, they have like 700 good lines about like what weird things that they like are bonding over. Like, I hate deodorant, or like, you know, random ass things that they keep saying.
My parents having sex and it didn't gross me out. Just adding to the character of Misty. 100%. Continue.
Insane. It was just so well, like, the chemistry between them was amazing. And I was talking shit on Crystal in the beginning, rightfully so, because of the whole she wasn't there last season. But she was worth it as a character just for this scene. Like, this was incredible all around. And I was like, I had so much anxiety watching this, knowing it was going to lead to Misty giving the transmitter mic drop moment, saying like, I destroyed the transmitter. We would have been rescued by now, because I didn't know how they were going to resolve this without her killing her. And thankfully she kills her. And I hope we drop it from here on out, because I don't want anybody to ever figure out that Misty did that.
Kills her in air quotes. She stepped off the cliff. She slipped. Yeah,
she lost her footing. Yeah. We will give her the benefit of the doubt. But Misty, dude, my mouth was fucking on the ground when that happened. I fucking loved that intensity. That's that mid-season like rush that you're looking for in a show like this. And it was certainly extracted out of me in this scene. My only question, I guess, is do we think they're going to go back and retrieve the body to go eat it at some point? Or do you think that body's done?
I think it's got shit all over it.
Yeah, I mean, that's true. It's also weird that they were like tossing poop so far away from the cabin. I feel like they didn't need to be throwing it off a cliff. They could have just like gone like 20 feet away from the cabin and just made like a poop pile.
I guess they don't want animals being, I mean, like, they should actually want animals attracted, now that I'm saying that out loud. You know, like, that actually might be a better thing. You're right, Dave. I totally agree with you. But it is, I was like, don't show me. And then they showed her dumping, and I'm like, okay.
I thought it was gruesome when Misty runs down, you know, tries to give her CPR, but it's just pushing the blood out of her mouth. Oh, that was fucking that Yellow Jacket's gore we live for.
So the problem with like going back for the body is Misty can't know where the body is, so someone else will have to find it. And then also,
yeah, Misty could just be like, oh, like I got lost around here. Like, does anything look weird? Like, you see any cliffs by any chance that she could have fallen off of?
Yeah, and it should get them pretty much through the end of the winter if we did skip ahead a couple of months, if they can eat crystal.
I don't know. I think that dripping that we like the house like thawing was more tied to whatever the tree trunk thawing was rather than it being a sign of spring, to be honest, is how
then that goes against the vent theory.
Yeah. No.
Yeah, because if the tree trunk was thawing because of the vent underground.
Like there could be one under like the house too, technically. Yeah. And I think maybe that would also go into a little bit of the dripping that Mari hears so much potentially. Mm. But just
interesting.
Yeah, theories on theories.
I don't really
have any confirmation, but what a great scene, though.
Mm-hmm. As far as alibis go, Misty couldn't ask for a better one. Even without the wind, all Misty had to say was she slipped and fell. Like, they were best friends. No one would have believed that Misty pushed her. So with this win, it's even more like there's just no way anyone ever finds out that Misty killed her, which is nice because I don't want that for her. She's crazy, but I don't want that for her. I'm rooting for her, you know?
Do we think that secret's ever going to come out? I'm thinking like of how they interact even in 2021. I feel like there's just no way they even know.
Right.
Still.
Which I'm happy
about.
Do we
think that will come up in 2021?
I think we're done with that plot line and let's leave it in the past. Misty does not need to get caught for that.
Correct.
I don't want it.
Okay.
Yeah, Misty's not stupid. She'll learn from her mistakes, especially with the transmitter thing. And then now she knows like that's murder is something you don't tell anybody about. So, but I think this is going to like it directly affects how closed off she is with Walter and anyone else, you know, and why she's a citizen detective and like all of these things. It's like Misty got close to someone and then she finally told her deepest, darkest secret. And then it didn't turn out the way she likes. And now she's super guarded and like such a fucking even more of a weirdo. So I think, yeah, I mean, it's not nothing. I think that it will really change the trajectory of Misty even more. But, you know, good stuff. I'm glad Crystal. That's exactly what TV shows do, right? You bring in these characters just to kill them off. And it was a good kill. It wasn't like one that you like roll your eyes at. It was a dope, really dope kill.
Love Absolutely. That scene.
Yep. Now I guess we can talk a little bit about it. Ties into the spiritual meetings that Lottie's been hosting, but you know, Misty's trying to find her way back to the camp as this huge snowstorm sets in. We also have at the same time, well, I guess we haven't even,
we'll talk about that right now, the Shauna and Taisha thing, which leads up, it kind of coincides with that, because
Shauna's of everything.
B-Tom's laid it out well earlier, like she's just feels like she's on an island by herself. So she storms out. Taisha chases her. They're in the woods. And we even get I like that Shauna uses the term Team Lottie in this like conversation because we've been doing it as podcasters, but it's so obvious that Lottie was always going to be the head of one team. And then we thought it was going to be Nat, but it's kind of looking like Shauna's on this side.
Yeah,
that's just fun for us to talk about.
Ty tries to do that thing where she condescendingly says, oh, there's only one team. And Shauna's like, you cannot even pretend like that's the truth anymore.
As if you yourself,
Lottie,
Ty,
versus whoever's not with Lottie. Yep. And you've been on that boat since the beginning. And now you're just jumping ships and acting like you weren't like that. Yeah. Ty's kind of annoying sometimes. I'm just going to say that. But let's not glance over the fact that Lottie was literally whispering to her belly. And Shauna's like, people do that so that it recognizes the voice of the mother. Like, why is nobody agreeing with me here? And this is the one point where I'm like, Shauna, you're right. Absolutely. I'm not sure why people aren't rallying behind you.
Yep. Yeah, if I woke up to someone whispering to my belly, like I would be just completely weirded out and I would be shocked if other people weren't also weirded out. So totally get where Shauna's coming from in this moment where she's just completely, she is just losing it, seeing all these people just also lose it, going crazy for Lottie's, you know, spiritual stuff. And I get where she's coming from completely.
Did anyone write down what she said?
Lottie. You're going to change everything.
Okay, that's what I thought. That's crazy.
Yeah.
So in an earlier scene, the first scene of the prayer circle, Shauna's listening in and Lottie says something like, we can't wait to meet him. So confident that it's a boy. And Shauna's like, Jesus fucking Christ. Like these people, they think they're helping. They think that doing the prayer circle, and Shauna is like the tree cult fucking praying for me is not what I need right now. Like, yep. And this is the most sane Sean has ever been, especially compared to all these people just being like, listen to me when I tell you what I need. I'm the pregnant one. This is my baby. Like, stop just going with whatever Lottie is saying. Like, this is not helping me for a second. And she's 100% correct. I feel so bad for her. Brian already said it, but being 9 months pregnant in this situation, starving to death, everyone's being fucking weird. You're freezing cold. You have no doctors. You have no nothing. It's just, it's devastating. It's devastating.
Yep. Nothing to add there.
I mean. Mic drops.
All right. So this leads directly into the storm, kind of induces Shauna's labor. But when the storm hits, Ty's like, oh shit, we got to get back to the cabin. And then there's this weird, all the girls are outside the cabin. Lottie's like, quiet down, Van. What do you hear? I mean, this is something, right? Like, they're kind of connected through the forest. Now that Ty's buying into it, it's actually working for her. And she's like, I feel my friends trying to get us back safely or trying to find us. And she's able to find her way back to the cabin. Like, yeah, we can't deny that Lottie's got some sort of power and there's some weight to this prayer circle stuff.
Mm-hmm. That's Agreed. Really all there is. I mean, the prayer circle helped them locate these people in the storm and then obviously has been helping Tyson not sleepwalk. So those two connections make me believe that these circles are powerful in some way. Do we know what that a power is? No, but they do something for them.
It's appeasing what are we calling it? Not the darkness, the forest. Yeah, because it's literally even like it's manifesting as wind in this scene again, which is not the first time we've seen this. And I really like the direction, like when they shoot those kind of scenes, because you can just tell that the wind has like a purpose. When it's doing that, it's picking up and stuff, right? And it all timed with Shauna going into labor. Like, this whole thing is just it just worked out really well, and it just set up next episode so beautifully.
Well, she has to have the kid next episode, right?
Yeah,
100%.
Yeah,
I'm so excited to see what comes out.
Ooh. Oh, something! Fuck it, it's gonna be a fucking chicken baby.
Chicken wing. They'd be hype.
They'd
be like, well,
okay. I legitimately
not a total loss.
This is going to be huge. This birth has been hyped up for like pretty much a full season now at this point, with midway through last season up until now this point. So this episode has got the expectations are high, and I'm a little worried because we've already had our high point with this being the mid season. I really hope they come through and kick ass next episode. It has to, if it's going to be the birth of Shauna's kid.
Let's take a guess here, I guess. Do we want to just predict if it's going to live? Like, is that something that's fun or no? Like,
yeah, I think that's fun.
Okay, yeah, let's do that.
That is so fun. Let's talk.
If we say no, do we also want to go a step further and maybe think like provide on how we think it's going to die?
Yeah, like live like, initially, dies initially.
Is it going to be a miscarriage or do you think they're
all right? Yeah. Let's do it.
So I'll start. I'm going to say no. The child is not going to live, and I think they're going to fucking eat it. That's how it's going out. I'm going to eat it. I don't know how that would work because there's not much. I'm sure that wouldn't be enough sustenance, but I don't know.
Yeah, I draw the line at baby cannibalism. They're not eating whatever comes out of Sean, I'll tell you that much. And I'm going to put my money on the child will live through childbirth. What happens past next episode, who knows, but it will survive childbirth.
Okay. That's what I was going to say as well. I think that this baby's gonna die. You know what? No, I vote it lives, and it's someone that we know currently, and it's Lisa.
I think that there's like the baby, what's it called? Stillborn?
Like a miscarriage?
Yeah. Like, stillborn,
a miscarriage, right?
Yeah, it's a stillborn.
Stillborn
like
is
House of the Dragon.
Yes. Born, like, not breathing.
Yes. I think that's what it's gonna happen. And the reason I'm trying to make that reconcile with Lottie saying that the baby's going to change everything. And I think the way that they could play it is that if it is stillborn and it's like bloody, like they use the blood of the baby for like a ritual kind of thing, like somehow Lottie uses it to channel something in the forest. Cause Lottie's law, right? Like whatever, the baby has to change everything, like quote unquote, in some way. And I just don't see it living though. That's where I'm at.
Okay. Either way, we're having a fucking baby.
Hell yeah.
Woo!
It cannot be more gruesome than the House of the Dragon birth scenes. There's just
all of them, all of the birth scenes. We've had so many in House of the Dragon.
We know Yellow Jackets does it real with the gore. Well, so I think House we're going Dragon. To see.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, it's hard to be any worse than House of the Dragon. Yeah. So yeah, that was pretty difficult. I agree.
Yeah. MVP right. Buzzkill.
MVP Buzzkill. We're going to start with Dave.
Yes. Easy, easy ones. All right. We got the biggest buzzkill. Randy will knock that one out of the ball.
Wow.
Very
Randog.
Easy. Yeah. Randog. And then we'll give the MVP. I had a couple here. We'll take the loaf bearing fruit here. We'll take Callie. Just everything, you know, her admitting to everything, the relationship she's developing with her parents, even though she's now even more an accomplice than ever. I think she's had some wonderful character growth this episode. And she's for our team. So
wait, so Randy was your buzzkill and then Callie was your MVP. Callie, okay. Me second?
Yes.
Cool. I'm going to take mine are going to play into each other here. My MVP was actually going to be Walter. And then my buzzkill is actually going to be older Misty. Wow. And it's all related to the way that Misty dealt with him coming out and saying the things he was saying about like how much he knows about her. Cause I thought that did wonders for his character and I love him and I don't think he's going to be bad now. I'm pretty convinced of that. And then just the way Misty should not have pushed him away, especially knowing what he knows. So
old Misty was my backup LVP.
Yeah, so. I know. I don't actually think she's like buzzkill because she did the moon landing line and that was enough to not put her in there. But she's great.
This has got to be the only episode where adult Misty's even in contention for the buzzkill. So
yeah, I'll go next. My buzzkill of the episode is Kevin. I think I don't get why he's letting all of this happen. Especially it's just being a bad cop and it doesn't seem like that fits him. Like why have that scene with him in episode one of this season or episode two, whenever that conversation with Shauna was, and then you meet Matt and Kevin's like, you gotta chill. You gotta stop. You're a rookie. Like you're going to blow this whole thing up. And yet he's letting him kind of blow the whole thing up, which is good for us, but I don't know. It's not flying with me. Mm-hmm. And then my MVP is adult Van. Very happy to have her. I think she's going to be an excellent addition to the cast. And she's just good vibes. Really love her. Love her pride stuff all in the store. She's my girl. I love her. So, yep, adult Van.
Adult Van was actually my choice for MVP, but I'm glad I have a backup. Been a while, but young Shauna is going to be my MVP for actually standing her ground and being like, y'all are being crazy. I'm the one that needs support and you guys are supporting Lottie and going along with my MVP. I think I'm going to have young Ty as my buzzkill because she was just doing that whole condescending thing to Shauna this entire episode and just completely backtracking on what her stance has been since they crashed. Mm-hmm. And that's like, Lottie is a little bit crazy with her supernatural stuff. And now she's just completely turning, doing a 180 on that. So buzzkill young Ty.
I love MVP buzzkill.
It's been good.
So fun to do.
And it's good. It's good that we've been all over the place. People who are buzzkills one episode become the MVPs. Like Luke has had a Callie at both buzzkill and MVP, which is great. So everyone, you know, it's fair game every episode, whether they're going to perform or not. But
right.
Any final thoughts?
No,
none. I think that
I'm happy that this was like the highest rated of the series, even though I might not agree with that. But I feel like it's just in terms of just ratings and views, like we're all just up and up and up.
Yeah.
What did it get on IMDb this episode?
8.4.
That's crazy that's the highest rank. I know. That's wrong. I think.
It's weird, I agree.
Because Yellowjacket, it's a high rated series because there's not a flop episode. Like everything is like 7.5 or above or something like that. But then there's nothing above 8.4. It's very weird to me. But you know,
snacky.
What's the highest? Like Last of Us was getting nines, right? And above. Okay. Yeah. And what was House of the Dragon getting? Like what just. In general, was that like we don't have to actually do this, but if you knew off the top of your head, nines as well.
Like nine.
Interesting. Shades of Showtime because this is good. Yeah,
this is where we're setting the precedent of it now. From I think going forward, we're crossing into that. You know, nine.
You hear us, IMDb.
Yeah, nines. We're giving it nines.
House of the Dragon, all the lowest was like an 8.0, but there were some nines in there. Yeah. Everything is like high eights. Yeah.
Okay, understood.
I think we're fighting for that consistency of. Yellow Jackets being that threshold. I think we're in that point of transitioning of getting Yellow Jackets.
But then if you look at Rotten Tomatoes, I'm pretty sure it's like 90+%. You know,
right, Rotten Tomatoes is better than IMDb.
You heard it here first, folks.
We support Rotten Tomatoes here.
Yeah.
All right. That is the episode 5. We're midway through. Whether there's 9 or 10 episodes
there's
is
nine.
A story to be told. It's 9. Okay, we're more than halfway through
that. Story over.
A story has ended. If you're listening on BuzzTown, smash the subscribe button so you'll know exactly when we drop each episode. And if you're listening on BuzzTown and you want to look into our other episodes, again, go to BingeTownTV.com. BingeTown TV is our main feed, so you can search it on Apple, on Spotify, anywhere you listen to your podcast. Subscribe to us as well. You'll get notifications on what we drop, and we drop a lot, a couple episodes a week. Right now, we're doing The Mandalorian, Succession, and of course, Yellow Jackets. But we've covered all the big ones. You know, HBO has just been hit after hit after hit, and we've done them all. So check us out. You know, we have a good time. We have a good time. But we'll be back next week, Yellow Jackets episode 6. We are pumped, and we are BingeTown and BuzzTown TV. And thanks for listening.
Buzz.
You're listening to the Geekscape Network.